views are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome, everyone. We're back for another episode of Greenwich Streets. I'm Russell Pruner. Along with me, as usual, my co-host and brother, Mark Pruner. We're both realtors here in Greenwich working at Compass Real Estate, just trying to bring you the best that our hometown Greenwich has to offer and what's going on in the real estate world. Mark, how was this last week and the weekend?
Well, it's great. The spring market is finally here. We had the most sales we've had for a week so far this year, with 12 sales last week, and we also had 13 go to contract. And that sucked up some of the inventory that was coming on. We've had 51 new listings in the last 4 weeks, but our inventory actually dropped from 153 to 149, which is remarkable given that in 2019 at this time, we had 564 listings. So the inventory continues to be tight. We've got lots of good activity out there with buyers at just about all price ranges. It does get softer as you get over $5 million, and particularly over $10 million. But you and I sold one, or got one under contract for 10.9, so we brought that inventory down a little bit.
There you go. Yeah, it's this is interesting. This will be my fourth week in a row that I'll be in a multiple bid situation. And two of those were with the same client, one with a newer client. But, we're still seeing that, it seems like in that lower price range area that we are still seeing, multiple offers, because it's really deep. I mean, I saw in Leonard Steinberg's thing the other day about Bill Anders's listing out on Blind Brook.
Yeah.
They had 120 showings in 4 days. He had 21 offers, and it went 23% over the ask.
Yeah, there were so many people who had to clean the carpet in between.
Yeah, probably.
Actually, so. I'm making that up. But
it
was just an amazing number. And it wasn't a really stellar property. It was a good, solid property in a lower price range. So far this year, we've sold 24 houses under $2 million, and we could have sold four or five times that number if we had more inventory. That segment, the under $2 million segment, only represents 16% of our market, but it represents a much larger portion of the sales because there are just lots of people who would love to live in Greenwich if they could afford to do it.
You know what is interesting, I think, and we're lucky in this route, in this case, is that a lot of our clients that would be looking in other towns right now, but the other towns have less inventory than we do. So it's really kept them, in Greenwich and really trying to be focused. I don't know how many people sort of play one town against another or might be looking at Darien, New Canaan, and Greenwich at the same time, or even Westport or Stamford. But, it seems like no matter where you go, especially under that 2.5 million, 3 million mark, I mean, there's not a lot of inventory out there.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. I was talking to a Compass agent over in Stamford last week. She said there are 51 listings on the entire market. That town is over 100,000 people, and you've got a choice of 51 listings. So we do have more inventory, even though we're looking at something that's down like 70%. From prior times, but other towns are down like 80%. It's just incredible. Realize, however, that those numbers are a little deceptive in that the inventory is done at the end of each month, and we've had a bunch of houses come on and go to contract before they got to the end of the month. So we're looking at, as I said, we've got 51 new listings in the last 4 weeks, and a bunch of those are already under contract and never showed up in inventory.
I'm really wondering, the late Susan Vandegrin, who our guest Barb McKee is going to be on in a minute, and I work with at Shore and Country Properties for a long time. I was talking to her about how they do real estate in Australia, because she's from Australia. And what she said is normally what they do is sort of what's happening right now is that they would put the house on, property on for 2 weeks, let everybody see it, and then at the end of that second week, they'd say, okay, you know, bring us your offers, and we'll then decide, you know, who we're going to sell it to, if we're going to sell it to anybody. So, you know, we're sort of seeing that, you know, in our own. I sort of start to think, is that something that could ever happen, you know, here in Greenwich, where you just tell, hey, look, you've got 2 weeks to show it, and then we're going to...
It's way too much time. I mean, here we give you a week. I mean, 49 Pond Place, Brinebrook, three Mill Pond, all of those.
30 Valleywood.
Yeah, all of those had accepted offer. They came on a Thursday and had accepted offers by the following Monday, and multiple offers. Of those sales that we've had so far this year, the majority of them have gone for full list or over list price. And that's even at some of the higher price points. So it's what I call combat buying. And when you go into combat, you just want to be prepared. You want to know who your inspector is going to be. You want to know who your attorney is going to be. So you don't have to look them up once you do have an accepted offer. And that will cut days off of it and gives you an advantage in your negotiations with the seller.
Yeah, I'm sort of surprised in a way, and I've seen this done a couple times, is that we're not going to, instead of offers, just go to seal contract. Let's get this over with that day. Basically, present me a contract with your terms, your price in it, and with your 10% check. And if whichever one I like, I will sign. So it's instead of giving somebody an accepted offer, and you go, the seller and buyer go in this limbo period for like 4 to 5 days until the contract is signed by the buyer and the seller. Let's just get to the signing
and
get it done.
That's one of Russ's innovations. I've done that a couple of times. The nice thing is the contract that's used for 99% of the deals in Greenwich is the Fairfield County Bar Association's contract. And it's designed to be a fairly even balance between buyers and sellers. So the idea that you're presented with this contract and you have to sign it is not quite as onerous as some people might think, because the contract's fairly balanced to begin with.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to cost a buyer some money to do that, because you're going to hire the attorney. The attorney's going to need to do the title work, unless title is something that's in the contract that still allows some
and
time.
There is a title exception in the contract. You're required. I was a real estate attorney for 14 years. And so you're required to deliver marketable title. There is a set of standards as to what's marketable title. Do encroachments count as title defects? Yes. Does something that happened on the property, 40 years ago, count as a title defect if it's not in the chain of title? No. So there are these standards out there, and those get reviewed. So technically, there is that contingency. But it's almost always curable, and I've very rarely seen a deal fall through because of an incurable title problem.
You know, another thing too, Mark, on these multiple offer situations, you know, with your background as an attorney, I'm really surprised that you can still, when you sign a contract, that a lot of it is done electronically with funds and signing and all that, but every once in a while you'll have somebody give a personal check for the 10% down payment. And what we found in a recent deal was that it took like 5 days for that check to clear, where, you know, it was sort of like, why didn't we just give them the check, but the next day wire the funds?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the other thing, is you can sign the contract, but you really want the money in the bank. And nowadays, the norm is for the buyer to wire the funds to their attorney, and then to send the contract over to the seller's attorney, where it's already been signed by the buyer. The seller signs it, and the funds are transferred, and the whole deal gets done, within a couple of hours of the time that the seller signs the contract. In the old days, it was when we didn't have this kind of time pressure and this shortage of inventory, a personal check was fine because it would clear in 5 days. If it's drawn on the New York clearinghouse, those checks are supposed to clear overnight. So you don't want somebody presenting you with a check from a California bank or, God forbid, a French bank.
God forbid, Silicon Valley Bank.
Well, and that, you know, and that's exactly
or Signature, either one of them.
That's a little closer to home. I haven't been by the Holly Hill office to see how they're doing, but there were some great folks at Signature Bank, and I feel sorry for them because the ones here were doing a good job. It was the people in New York that were at the headquarters that were causing problems banking crypto.
Let me ask you a question about that 10% check. Is when you give the check, even though it has not cleared, have you given consideration that locks the buyer and the seller in at that point, or does that check have to clear before consideration is given?
Well, there's the formal term in law school is you have to have negative reciprocal consideration, and that means that people have to do something they wouldn't otherwise do. In the case of the seller, they're committing to sell their house. In the case of the buyer, they're giving money, which they just wouldn't normally give away to a guy on the street out of the blue. So the issue with the it becomes very problematic because theoretically, once you've signed the contract, there is a binding agreement between the parties. But part of that contract is that you're going to be putting down a 10% deposit. If you don't do that, the question is there no contract or are you in breach of contract? Either way, it gets messy and you just don't want to be in that situation. Of all the issues that I've seen develop over my career in real estate and as a real estate attorney, I can't ever remember that happening. But like you were saying, you can have some scary days where checks don't clear or the first check turns out to be written on an account that they were closing and they were opening a new account. But every time the money of the things I've seen eventually shows up, people just don't sign contracts to walk away from them.
You know, another thing, too, that comes up, Mark, is, you know, how often a resale certificate is involved in a transaction, giving the buyer that 5-day window by state law. And, you know, how often does that the resale certificate come into play on a contract?
Well, the resale certificate only applies to properties that fall under the Common Interest Ownership Act, and those are condominiums. So that, and it doesn't apply to all condominiums. If you have a smaller if there are only two units in the condo association, like a bid I made yesterday, that may well not apply depending on when those units were actually originally built. So, but the deal you every deal you sign that's a CIOA deal is a contingent contract and until 5 days after the resale certificate has been delivered. And what happens is that has to come from the association. Some of the associations aren't all that good about sending them out, you know, and I've done deals where that resale certificate shows up at the closing. And technically the buyer had that entire period in which to walk away from the deal because under state law, until that's delivered, the buyer can walk away.
Yeah, we're going to take a short break here and come back with Barbara McKee, who's the manager of the Compass office here in Greenwich. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Rand Insurance has been part of the Greenwich community since 1938, and we're located next to the J House in Riverside. We've been helping successful individuals, families, and local businesses with their insurance needs for over 80 years. Contact the Rand experts for insurance for your home, cars, and business, as well as cyber insurance and coverage for your jewelry, wine collection, and vintage cars. Get in touch with us at 203-637-1006 or at randinsurance.com. Experience the Rand difference.
Hi, I'm Tony Savino. Join me Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock for Spotlight on Medicine. Each week I speak with the doctors, nurses, and other medical experts at Greenwich Hospital. This week on Spotlight, hip and knee pain, what are your options? The guest is Dr. Thomas Hickernell, orthopedic surgeon at Greenwich Hospital. That's Spotlight of Medicine, Thursday mornings at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
We're back here on Greenwich Streets with another episode with my brother Mark Pruner, and I'm Russell Pruner. We're both working here as realtors in Greenwich for Compass Real Estate, and just talking a little bit about sort of our hometown and sort of the world of what's going on out there right now. I'd love to introduce our guest today is a very, very close friend of mine. I've known her for probably over 35 years. We've been in real estate together here in Greenwich, and I'm really happy. And Barbara, this is Barbara McKee, who's the manager of the office that Mark and I work for. But Barbara, it's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Russ and Mark. I want to just give you a little background on me. I was an agent for about 30 years. And while I was an agent, I did three terms of president at the Greenwich Board. I am still very active with the Greenwich Board and on their professional standards and the risk reduction committee. So I do go up to Hartford and work with the Connecticut State, and I'm on their executive board, too. I was asked to by Compass in the middle of COVID to come manage their office, which was having a hard time getting off the ground. Part of the reason is they didn't really have a local leading the office. So I said, okay, well, you know, I was working for the number one firm, and I said, okay, fine, let's give it a shot. What do I have to lose? So it has been quite the ride. It's been fun. It's been wonderful. We've gone from number eight when I arrived to number three in town, and we're, you know, the difference I find in Compass and the other places that I've been, which are quite a few over the 30 years, Compass never stops. They keep innovating. They keep, which is hard sometimes to keep up with, but if you're a serious agent and you want the best of what they have to offer, that's the place to be because it's they offer so many things. If you just want to sell a house once a year or twice a year, Compass isn't for you. But if you want to be part of the people who really work and sell in Greenwich, Compass is great.
Yeah, I can tell you. I mean, Barbara, you know, we've been together for a long time on the board and all of that. But she also managed my office when we had Shore and Country Properties, and then we lost her. She then came on and did manage Houlihan after we sold to Houlihan in 2015. But I must say, when you know, Barbara sort of courted me over to Compass, and the thing that was amazing to me was it was a lot, Barbara, like what we had at Shore and Country, and it's hard to believe that, you know, in 10 years they've gone from nothing to the number one company in the United States. But not only that, they've been able to keep the culture of the office with 30,000 agents now, you know, very similar to what we had at Shore and Country.
Well, I think part of the reason is because some of these agents knew the people that were there, knew me, and knew I wouldn't lie to them. Any new firm that comes in is always examined under a microscope and sometimes not given the chance to even succeed. This gave us a chance to succeed. We really were picky as to who we picked because I don't care how much you make a year. I care how you make the money. And if you don't have the ethics that we want at Compass, then we're not interested. So it's a wonderful place to work. We all trust each other. We work as a very large team. We have some people who are on teams. Then we have plenty of agents who just work as principals on their own, and we're a pretty happy group.
That's one of the great things about Compass, because everybody there is a good agent, but there are some firms where not everybody gets along. At Compass, everybody does get along, and it's just nice to work there because I can walk into anybody's office and ask them questions, and get good solid answers. And to me, the remarkable thing is to go from being the number eight agency in Greenwich to the number three agency in only 3 years really says a lot about what you brought to Compass.
We did it after a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That was great. Yeah. But.
You know, the thing I think, Barbara, that I really appreciate and respect you the most for is that, and I think every manager that manages any company, but especially a real estate company, they need to have sold in that market, listed and sold in the market, understand the people, understand the way business is transacted. And, you know, that's what, you know, even we've been doing a long time together. I still come to you and ask for advice, say, hey, look, I'm in this deal. This is what's going on. You know, what would you do? Sometimes I'm doing a little bit differently than you, but most of the time we get to the same endpoint, you know. And, you know, for that, I think that's where the great deal of respect from all the agents from Compass.
Most of the people who call me actually know the answer to their questions. They're very experienced agents. But if I was still an agent, I would call you, Russ, or somebody else who I knew might question some part of that conversation. And by the end of the conversation, I said, you've got it. You know, you know what you're doing, but I'm glad you asked. And we just try and keep everything ethical and working as a Greenwich agent should work.
Yeah, I mean, because ethics are kind of the be-all and end-all of the business. There are, and luckily there are only a couple of agents who, if they tell me something, I don't necessarily believe them because of past dealings or their reputation. Pretty much everywhere else in among all the other 1,000 agents we have in the Greenwich MLS, if somebody tells me that, you know, that's what their client is going to do or that's what the situation is, I believe them. I don't, and it's not to say that some people don't exaggerate a bit, particularly when it comes down to price negotiation. That's as low as they'll ever go. And then it turns out the following day they go a little bit lower to make the deal. But, it's that's very good in Greenwich. In New York City and some other places, the elbows are a little sharper.
Yeah, and it truly, Greenwich is a wonderful place to buy real estate because we do respect each other. I also manage the Stamford office of Compass, and it's a totally different group of companies up there than that are here. Styles are different. The way they sell is different. So we're lucky because we sort of have a very tight group of realtors here in Greenwich.
You know, what's unusual, too, about Compass that I found was that everybody's come from somewhere else. There are very few people. In fact, we have to have one person that's on works with us. Tim Agro is one of the few agents at Compass that has not been at another company. Luckily, he's not tainted by maybe or looked at, you know, other companies and did what they did.
He has to work with us all the time.
I know. So, but it's very unusual, and that's all the way around the country, is that most people either work for another real estate company or work for in another profession before they got into Compass that was related in many cases to real estate. Barb, you know, you've seen a lot of markets and all that. What do you think about the market that's going on right now?
Well, ever since COVID hit, I knew the next day we were going to have a wild and woolly time. We have. The last 2 years have been amazing. Agents have made a lot of money. It was all there for them. And if they worked hard and they were honest, they did very well. Now, even the best agents in this market are having a hard time because of the inventory situation. So it's not going to be as big a year for anybody, probably, for the companies, for the agents. And it's a little what people don't realize is that's a little more normal than what was going on. The last 2 years were not normal. Those were COVID years. Mm-hmm. We took a lot of Westchester business in the beginning because they couldn't sell, and now they are. But everybody has the inventory problem. You can't sell what you don't have.
Yeah, the governor shut down real estate as a non-essential business
in
New York. Here in Connecticut, Governor Lamont and our legislators know that real estate is an essential business.
Not only that, the mindset for coming out of New York City changed. You know, Connecticut was, oh, you don't want to go to Connecticut. It's, you know, it's not urban enough, and it's you know, we want to be in the city. Well, once people left New York, and there was nothing to do in New York during COVID, everything was closed down. They had to do something with their children. They've loved it. So Connecticut has really come back as a wonderful place to live.
I had a couple of clients who had rented, and they were making the decision, do we buy here or do we go back to the city? And the wife really missed her friends and some of the high-end social life. But the kids said, absolutely not. We're not going back to that three-bedroom apartment. Where we've got to walk four blocks to get to a park and compete with a whole bunch of other people. We got a basketball court in our backyard, and I've made a lot of good friends at school.
Yeah. The dogs are happier, too, out
that's
here.
Pretty, yes.
You know, the one thing I think that's unusual in over our 30-plus year career, Barbara, is that, you know, a lot of times early on, it was moves within Greenwich, that the majority of the houses that were sold to people that were already here. Then we started to see some influx from, again, we always saw a little bit of influx from New York, and then relocation from around the country and around the world. You know, the thing that's really amazing right now is a good majority of our market comes from really two areas, either Westchester County or New York City. And I think that's going to continue because people come from, their friends come out and go, this is pretty nice.
Well, and when you compare taxes between New York and Connecticut, there's a huge difference in what you have to pay on property taxes. So you might pay a little bit more here for an original buy, but, you know, within a year or two, you've made up the difference because the taxes are so high in New York.
Right. And the other thing is that COVID created this whole work from home, but that had been starting even before COVID. And now what maybe would have taken a decade to change happened in 2 to 3 years. And so the concept of, I know very few people who go into their office in New York City 5 days a week. The norm is 3 days. We just had dinner with Russ, his wife, and his son who lives in New York City. And he says when he goes into his office 5 days a week because he works better. But he says when I go in on Friday, it's just like me and my boss's boss, and that's it for the whole office.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You know, we've all listened to a lot on CNBC. We're lucky here because we have very low vacancy rates in our commercial real estate, maybe some of the lowest in the United States. But, you know, you've got a number of people that are really looking for changing office space, maybe into residential space because of the need for new inventory, you know, in the more urban markets that are out there.
We certainly need that. The problem is that it's not as easy as it sounds. The biggest problem is water, bathrooms and kitchens, because each of those need a plumbing stack. And generally, they're all in the same places. So you've got to install plumbing from the ground floor all the way up to the 40th floor. So, yeah, renovating. Actually, it turns out shopping malls are easier to renovate into housing than high rises are, right? And office buildings.
Hey, Barb, what do you think? You know, as you've been here, how many years have you been in Greenwich?
Over 40, 45.
Yeah, you know, and you've seen a lot of markets. When do you think that this might get back to equilibrium, or, you know, where we'll have 400, 500, 600 homes on the market?
I think part of our problem with not being in equilibrium is because the world isn't right now. And I think when people know what's going to happen next month or next year, they're a little more apt to do things the way we would think they would do them. And it's just, right now, the world is sort of leading us. And I don't think Greenwich is going to have a problem with the market like it did in 2002, 7, and 8. But it's you know, it's going to slow down from the last 2 years. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I think one of the reasons, We saw a slower 2022, which, by the way, was still an above-average number of sales. Our pre-COVID, our average number of sales was 621 houses. Last year, we sold 637. So we would have considered it, a good year. It was only compared to the prior year, which was an all-time record with 1,007 sales, and the year before that with 864 sales. But you go back to 2019, and we were well below average.
Mm-hmm.
COVID and the whole work-from-home thing has really changed how Greenwich is looked at as a place to live, and, you know, all of Fairfield County.
A lot of people don't need to have a country home now, too. They'd have an apartment in New York, and then they'd either go to the Hamptons or they'd come up to Connecticut, and they realize that I can work from home, so
right.
I don't have to do that. And getting down to the Hamptons, we've gotten a lot of people had places in the Hamptons because they can have one house, they can have everything they had there. They can go down for vacation to the Hamptons, but this way the kids have the fabulous schools.
The Hamptons don't have the infrastructure that we have in Greenwich. They don't have Greenwich Hospital. They don't have 10 public elementaries and 10 private schools. I heard some amazing stories about people trying to get their kids into, the couple of elementary schools they have out there. So we're seeing people, as you said, moving from the Hamptons to Greenwich. Just because if you're going to be here for more than summer weekends, it's just a lot easier place to get what you need.
You know, it also is, I think, affected Greenwich, and it will, I think, buoy it as we come out of these COVID years and stuff, is we really shut off the relocation of people from outside the United States because of the change in the visa laws and all of that. I mean, corporations just can't bring their people in to work as easily as they could before COVID came along. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of problems with immigration right now. So I think once they get that, hopefully, under a little control, companies will be able to get visas for their workers. The laws were so different for each country coming in here that it really went on pause during COVID.
Yeah, you know, the another thing, too, I was out with a couple and we were looking at sales that happened back in 2020. And now 3 years later, as we come, out of COVID and all that, and we look back and we thought the prices in 2020 were absolutely nuts, and now they look low.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing that the market, because of the low inventory, has continued to go up.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. Our prices last year were up 6.5% on townwide. They're continuing to go up this year, though you have to look at a broader spectrum. Some neighborhoods and some months, actually, the average goes down, but you're talking about, you know, seven houses. So it's really a mix of what's selling. But because it's basic economics, supply and demand. There ain't a lot of supply, and there still is very good demand.
That's why you should still use a realtor and put the house on the market. I mean, everybody would love to sell their house without putting it on the market. But I can promise you, you won't get the same price or the same attention or the same group of people looking at it and wanting it. And that raises the price because there's no inventory. So if you sell it to your neighbor just because they want it, they're probably going to get it for less than you would sell it if you put it on the market. I've had so many calls from agents saying, how can I get into a house that'll let me show it once? And very often they'll sell it, but I'm not sure that the owner was doing the right thing because they might have been able to get it for more money. Now, me, I would love to sell my house without having people tromp through it, you know. But I think.
But the nice thing is, in this market, if you price it right, and the house is in decent shape, you're only going to have people tromping through it for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you would prefer not to go through the hassle. And the other thing is, if you're moving anyway, it's a great way to do what I call triage. You identify the third of the stuff that you're going to move, the third of the stuff that you're going to give away to your kids or sell via consignment or on eBay, and then get rid of that third of the stuff that you're not going to move. It'll just make the move easier, and it makes your house look much nicer when it comes time to show it.
We're going to take a triage out of here and take a break right quick, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
Food, especially healthy food, is expensive. It is so hard to find whole natural fruits and vegetables at a reasonable price, and no one knows this better than Balance of Nature. They are always searching for the highest quality farms that produce the highest quality fruits and vegetables so you can get them at a fraction of the cost. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies contain only the best fruits and vegetables that undergo an advanced vacuum cold process that preserves the maximum nutrient content. This means you get the powerful health benefits of a wide variety of fruits and vegetables without expensive trips to the grocery store. Don't wait. Eat healthy and save money by going to balanceofnature.com today or call 1-800-246-8751. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order when you use discount code Laura.
Welcome back to Greenwich Streets. I'm Russell Pruner. With me, as usual, my brother Mark Pruner. As you know, we're both realtors here locally at Compass Real Estate, talking a little bit about the market, the real estate market, as well as sort of, you know, what's going on. With us today, we have the manager of the Compass office, Barb McKee, who Mark and I have known for a number of years. And we were talking just a little bit about sort of, you know, what's going on in the market and what's happening. Barb, before we get into maybe a little bit more, What do you think it's going to take to build inventory into this market? You know, you've seen it. We've seen it where there are 1,000 homes almost in inventory. But, you know, with only 1/10 of those now, what do you think has got to happen to get inventory back?
Well, I think people have to have confidence that they can find something to buy before they're going to put their house on the market. And that's probably the main reason people don't put their house on the market. So if they don't go out and look and they don't go out and see what's there, there might be something there. They should at least go out and look. It is hard because there's so many people who are buying, different age groups are buying, going for the same properties. You know, the young people who are married and maybe don't have kids or have one want the same house that the people who kids have gone and left, and they want us to go downsize, the downsizers. So I just think that they should, if they're interested, they should really look into it.
Yeah, no, and you're exactly right. I mean, right now I have three clients who are gridlocked. If I could find them something to buy, they would list their house. So the one thing I'm hoping is that as we get more inventory on the market, we'll get more inventory on the market. Because as there are people who find places that they can buy, they will be able to list their houses.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we've got a lot of people, I mean, including myself, that, you know, I wouldn't have sold our house for another 3 years. But having seen the market, I don't know in 3 years from now whether or not that the price I'm selling my house for now is going to be as high maybe as what it be. We might continue this for a little while, but as inventory does build, I think you're going to start to see these prices level out, and they could even come back a little bit, you know, depending on what's going on. But, you know, the one thing that is interesting is all the three of us have seen interest rates at a lot higher than where they are. But, Barb, you know,
my first house, it was 14%. So, you know, that was outrageous. Now, the house didn't cost that much money. But it's something everybody's complaining about. Six, well, if you were down to 2, 6 or 3%, 6 is pretty high. It's double what you counted on when you bought the house. But, you know, just hang in there with it and know that it's never going to be probably 14%, I hope, ever again. But it's just what's going on in the world, and I think that's what scares people.
Yeah, no, and you know, the whole interest rate thing, and with our lack of inventory, it's driven many more people to, in order to get the house, they have to do all cash deals. Now, that doesn't mean they're not getting a mortgage. It's just that they're waiving the mortgage contingency. So if the deal, if they don't get the mortgage and they can't find the financing somewhere, they lose their 10%. That practically never happens because there's nothing that motivates people more than being in a situation where they might lose a six-figure amount. But to my mind, one of the reasons we have such low inventory is people who would be selling now sold in 2021 and 2022, mm-hmm. because there were a lot of folks who were saying, well, you know, we'll move to Florida in a couple of years, or we'll downsize to a condo. And when they looked at how much activity there was and what people were getting, they put their house on it and sold. So I do think, and unfortunately the numbers don't reflect it yet. We are still only in the last 2 weeks have we gotten above record low weekly inventories. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll start to see some more. The nice thing is it is a spring market. By definition, we will see more, but we need to see a lot more.
Yeah, you know, I think, too, one of the things, you know, going back to the three of us moving to Compass, you know, really was everybody that comes in there feels like, you know, they've got a fire hose turned on them because they've got so much technology and so much to learn. But the other part about it, too, is that they've also got, we're the only company in America that has all the offices are owned by the parent company. They don't have a franchise or something like that. And that the great thing about that really has been, you know, at least for me, is I probably met more and talked more to people that are in markets all over the United States to find out how their markets are doing and just to getting to know them. So if I have a client that's going to Cleveland or going to Arizona or going to San Francisco or Aspen or something, you know, it used to be I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know how to even start. And here now, you know, we get to know them each day.
Well, and it's the same for me as a manager. I know the managers very well in the tri-state area, the whole region. And then I have weekly meetings with them all over the country. So we talk about our problems, we hear about our problems, and we understand them. We're also on the same systems. You know, if you have a franchise, they don't have to be on the same system you're on. And it's really one-stop shopping. When you get there and you do learn all the Compass technology, it's so much easier than using a little piece here and a little piece there.
Yeah, that was one of the great things I loved about coming to Compass was all the technology was developed together, whereas at former places I would have, and often it was the best in that category, but every software package did something a little differently. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is now I can put in, when somebody calls up and says they're thinking about selling their house, I put their name in as a prospect. It sets up the automatic follow-ups. And then when we go to do the closing documents, that information that I entered in six months before is all there. I don't have to keep entering the person's name and address in just package after package.
Right, and CMAs, I mean, we're,
competitive, you know, market analysis.
Yeah. We're so difficult. I remember at a couple very, very good firms running around like a madwoman trying to get pieces of information. It's all there. You can make one in a number, you know, like an hour or two, mm-hmm. that is very specialized to that client.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I mean, they were smart because they did one thing right. Most corporations, whether it be any corporation you're dealing with, but especially real estate, you've got a board or a group of, or a council or one individual sitting at the top of the organization, not having any experience out in the open market on what's going on, dictating what's going to happen down to and all the people what they have to use, where Compass is the exact opposite. They first go to the agents and basically ask them, hey, look, you know, what do you want, what type of technology do you want, and then once they do that, they do one thing better, I think, than any other company out there, is they not only give you the technology, which is phenomenal, they teach you how to use the technology, where all the other companies are like, hey, here's the technology, figure it out.
And go buy it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with Compass, we're able to, you know, I was on two Zoom calls before I got here this morning, you know, about the technology and learning more about how to use it.
No, it's it truly is amazing, and that's why I said in the beginning, if you're not a serious realtor, you know, you're sort of wasted at Compass, because it does take time, it does take energy, but you're a true professional. When I came there, they basically said, all the agents are our clients. They're the ones that are making the money. We have to know what they need in order to make it work. And that's still the way we think about it.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, I think that we've got to remember is you know, they look at us as our clients, but the benefits to our clients are phenomenal. And the fact that we can do more probably in 10 minutes than maybe another agent could do in 3 or 4 hours by putting together a CMA or doing a listing presentation or collections where we can send out to them very quickly things that have sold in their neighborhood or in a school district or whatever. You know, be able to them see things almost as quickly as they would find. A lot of people want to go to Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, Redfin. But Compass, basically, if you're working with a Compass agent, they're sending you as much or more information than any of those platforms
well,
could
and,
give you.
And the other good thing is, in many ways, it's better information in the sense that it's more and there are more analytics. Right. The Compass website does extremely well. And if you're searching for a house, that's a good place to go. The majority of people out there use Zillow, and I've written 3 articles about just major problems with Zillow. Their Z estimate is frequently wrong. If you go in there and you look at the monthly payment in Greenwich, it's wrong because they use an average tax amount as for the county, because that's the way they do it nationwide. Whereas for Compass, they're using, you know, the real taxes that are paid there. So, you know, it's been great just referring people. There are a lot of firms that have many of the things that we do. It's just that hires get done a lot easier to do them. And we can be a lot more responsive in a lot shorter period of time.
Yeah, and the important thing is we do have this national program that everybody can use, but we do narrow it down to each and every market and make sure that Greenwich is a totally different market than Stamford or Larchmont, and you have to treat it as such.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a firm, and they told me that we're not going to do print advertising for new listings unless they're over $5 million. And I said, that's not the way it works in Greenwich. The other great thing is Compass gives us our marketing budget, and we can go out and spend it the way we want as to what we think is most effective. And since we don't get paid unless the house gets sold, it is not in our interest to spend money willy-nilly. Some houses do make sense to have a print advertising. Sometimes maybe you want to put more into the online marketing resource, and Compass has a great system for that and a great reporting system.
Yeah, I just want to thank all the agents who have come over to Compass, because I know myself going over there, you're taking a chance. It's a new company. It's something that's very different, and you got to be a little brave. It's amazing how some of the people, most of the people who have come over, their careers have been made there because of all the things that they've had and introduced them to. People who weren't number one or number two or even number 10 have really made it in real estate because of Compass. And yeah, them, I mean, they took advantage of it.
Right, took very much advantage of the platform and all of the education, all that. And, you know, and having Compass as the number one real estate company in the United States by sales volume, and people can talk about number of transactions and all that. I hate to tell you, when you get down to the end, money's what pays the bills.
Right.
So I think that's the most important thing that we can do. And, you know, a lot of kudos to the SGMs, our strategic growth managers and stuff, that go and find great talent. And the great thing about it, it's not always about the one who sells the most. It's really, as we talked about a little bit earlier, about the culture and making sure that that new agent will fit in with the personalities that are already there.
We work with them. The managers work with them. The agents work with them. They love getting lists of people. From you guys are our best you know, recruiters, really, because...
Oh, yeah, there are people who sell stuff, but they just don't fit in.
Right.
And Compass listens, so that I like going to work. I like being in the office because I like everybody there.
Yeah.
And that wasn't always true at some of the other places.
I thought you just liked the snacks in the kitchen and all
Well,
that.
By the way, that's another cool item that we get, is we get not only coffee and tea, but we get sodas in the refrigerator. We got huge deals of M&Ms and trail mix and all sorts of other things.
And then any excuse for a party.
Yes.
Yeah,
we have good parties. Oh, but speaking of parties, you guys...
Next year,
we will be having, I assume I can announce this, we will be having a reception at our offices for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, three stories above Greenwich Avenue. Russ and I were up there for the parade, standing outside the parade marshal, and everybody came by, and Fred Camillo and Jim Himes and all those folks, and I'm yelling, "Hey Fred, hey Jim," and they're kind of like looking around. And I go, "Up here," yeah. And they go, "What are you doing up here?" And we go, "We work here."
Yeah, exactly. So it is. It was a great day, and you know, it was nice too because you could either be outside, you know, on the sort of patio that we have there. Or you could, our beautiful conference room, you look right up Greenwich Avenue. And
it was a nippy day.
It was
a good
chilly,
day to do it from the conference room.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and we're, you know, the office is located right across from Saks Fifth Avenue on the third floor at 200 Greenwich Avenue, which is absolutely a stunning place to work. I mean, I was a little worried to begin with, but the parking, luckily, underneath helps out tremendously.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but, you know, it's... I think everything, I think Compass is a little bit sort of like Greenwich, a little bit misunderstood. And I think we're hoping we gave people a little bit of better idea of sort of who we are and, you know, what our great manager, Barbara McKee, does for us on a daily basis to make, you know, the Compass office in Greenwich
better.
Well,
it's really, you know, turning people's minds around. And, you know, I was doubtful that Compass would make it. I was doubtful what it was like. And I know everybody who's there had to be convinced to get there. So it's really an amazing place. And, you know, I love the agents. The agents are fabulous.
Yeah, it's great being on Greenwich Avenue. It's great having all those good people to work for. It's great having good technology that the people actually listen to. We have forums where you just do a post, and they frequently will update the software to make it work even better.
Well, you know, I think one of the most important things is we're getting into the spring market. We're getting into warmer weather, and I think we're going to have a really good market going forward. We thank everybody for listening today. You can always tune in to Greenwich Streets on any podcast platform, and we'll be back next week with more. Thank you for listening in.
This is your community radio station serving Lower Fairfield County and